Please pray with me. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations, may the thoughts of all of our hearts, all of our minds be pleasing in your sight. Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about God's Word today. We're going to talk about this book. And when you think about it, this book is an amazing gift because the words on these pages are no ordinary words. Whose words are they? This is God's words, right? When you hear these words, you're hearing God's voice. You're hearing God speak to you, telling you how he wants you to live. We call that God's law. Telling you about your sin, your failure to keep God's law. Forgiving your sins. Giving you faith, as we mentioned, faith to help you believe in these words, trust in these words, receive these words with joy. And through these words also comes the gift of eternal life. So this book is an amazing book. And you'd think, because of how amazing this book is, that everyone in this world, right, would treasure this book. And that everyone in this world would receive God's word with joy. But I think we all know that's not the case, right? So we have people in this world who believe in other gods. Gods whose voice is not found in this book, so they ignore these words, right? And there are atheists and agnostics. They either believe there is no God, or if there is a God, it's impossible to know for sure who he is. So they too ignore these words. And then there's us Christians. I think sometimes, probably more often than we'd like to admit, we're not too different than the others, right? So when these words say things that make us feel good and words that we want to hear, we'll listen. But the moment God's voice starts to speak in a way that challenges us and points out our sin and makes us feel uncomfortable, suddenly we too ignore these words. We'll talk about our gospel reading today. And in our gospel reading, Jesus goes back to his hometown of Nazareth. This is where he grew up. And we're told it's a Sabbath day, and Jesus has this habit, this custom, that every Sabbath day, so every Saturday, he goes to the synagogue. And this is interesting. I just want to point this out. The synagogue is where you go to hear what? God's word. It's where you go to hear God's voice speaking to you and to receive the gifts that come through the hearing of the word. So faith, forgiveness, eternal life. Who is Jesus? He is God, right? In John 1, he is the word of God in the flesh, right? He is God's voice. He does not need to go to the synagogue to hear God's voice because he is God's voice, right? And yet, Jesus makes it a priority, a habit, a custom, to go to the synagogue and hear God's voice every week. Just think about that for a moment. What's that say about our need, right, to be in worship and to be in God's word regularly? So Jesus goes to the synagogue. At the synagogue, any man over the age of 30, age 30 and up, can read from the scriptures and teach from them. Now, if you're good at what you're doing, people will listen, you get to teach longer. If you're not so good, people will tell you to sit back down and move on to the next. But all you got to do is stand up, and when it's your turn, someone will bring you a scroll, and you open it up, you read from it, and then you sit down to teach. So Jesus stands up, and they bring him a scroll. It's the scroll of Isaiah, so the Old Testament book of Isaiah. When Jesus opens that scroll, these are the words that he reads. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus reads those words, he closes the scroll, rolls it up, hands it to the attendant, he sits down and starts to teach, and he says, "Today, this scripture, the words I just read, have been fulfilled in your hearing." And what's he saying? He's saying those words are about, yeah, Jesus, they're about me, Jesus is saying, and now I'm here. Now, as the crowd in the synagogue is listening to Jesus speak, they are shocked at what they're hearing. But they're not upset. I mean, what Jesus is saying is profound. These are some big claims. They thought he was just the son of a carpenter. How is he talking like this? But they're not upset. If anything, they're actually kind of impressed at first. But then Jesus keeps going. And this is what gets Jesus into trouble. Because Jesus knows that his voice, his words, are not good enough for these people. They don't want to hear Jesus talk. What do they want to see? A miracle. Like he did at Capernaum, right? So Jesus says, a prophet is not acceptable in his hometown. What he's saying is, you are not going to listen to my voice or accept me, just as my people in the Old Testament too often did not listen to my voice and accept my word. And he gives two specific examples of times in the Old Testament when the people of Israel, God's people, were unfaithful, didn't listen to God's word, rejected his voice. But then you had Gentiles, foreigners, who did respond favorably and receive God's word with joy. And what Jesus is doing here is he's pointing out the sins of his people and saying, look, you don't always hear my word and receive it in faith. You reject my word. You do not always obey. And the moment the people in the synagogue hear these words, they become irate, right? Because they don't like it when God's word points out their what? Their sin. You want to point out the sins of other people? That's great. That makes me feel good, right? They're not great. I am, right? But point out my sin, I don't want to hear that. And so the people, they form an angry mob, and they take Jesus outside of the town to the top of a hill, and there they plan on throwing God's word, planning on throwing Jesus, he's God's word in the flesh, off the edge of a cliff. We do not always receive God's word with joy in our hearts, because sometimes God's word says things that we do not want to hear, right? Instead of responding favorably, we might respond in anger and reject God's word, and then we go and we look for another voice, a better voice that will tell us what we want to what? What we want to hear, right? And we end up ignoring these words. See the image on the screen. I want to talk about a TV show. Have you guys seen Love It or List It? You guys know the show? It's on HGTV if you're into those kind of shows. Reality show, right? Love It or List It, the premise of Love It or List It is quite simple. Every episode features a couple who owns their own home, and one member of that couple hates their current house. It's just not good enough. They want to move. Other member of the couple loves the current house. They'll admit that it could use some improvement, but once renovations are done, house will be perfect. And at the beginning of each episode, Hillary and David come to visit with the couple at their house. Hillary is a designer. And it's her job, with the help of her construction crew, to make renovations on the home, convincing them to stay in the house. David is a realtor. And it's his job to show them other houses, convince them to sell the current one, right? And buy a new one, move. Every episode has all kinds of drama. Throughout the episode, the one member of the couple is always complaining about everything Hillary does. It's just not good enough. Oh, she can't do what we need. We need to move. The other one is always complaining about every house David shows them. Oh, he can't give us what we need. We already have what we need. It's our current home, right? And then at the end of the episode, Hillary shows off her renovations. Every time jaws are dropped, couple's like, oh, I can't believe you did this. This is amazing. This is beautiful. And then after the couple gets to see the renovations on their home, David shows up and he reminds them of a house he showed them that would just be perfect. And then he shows them the new value of their current home after renovations. Idea being, look at how much you could sell this house for now and then easily buy the house I showed you, right? He leaves, and now the couple has to answer the question, will they love it or will they list it? Will they stay or will they sell their house and move? Every time you hear God's word, you are asked that question. Will you love it or will you list it? Will you, through faith, receive God's words with joy even when they make you uncomfortable, and will you seek to live your life according to those words? Or will you reject God's word when it tells you something you don't want to hear? Will you love it or will you list it? The people of Nazareth chose to what? List it. They didn't like what Jesus was saying. They're going to get rid of him. They're going to throw Jesus off the edge of a cliff. But Jesus is no ordinary man. Who is he? We've already said he is God. So he just walks through the crowd and he walks away. Can you imagine what's going through Jesus' head as he walks away from those people? Because these are his people, and they've just rejected him. They want nothing to do with him. His own people have done that. What's Jesus going to do? Will he love it? Or will he listen? Will Jesus love his people and continue to keep them as his own? Or will he reject these stubborn sinners and move on to something better, right? Hold on. You're going to mess up my sermon at least. Stop it. Jesus looks at the cost of moving. And that's not going to cost him anything, right? Because all he has to do is go back to heaven and enjoy being God. But then he looks at the cost of loving his people. The cost of doing the needed renovation work on his people's hearts. The cost of forgiving their sins and making them his own again. And that's going to cost him everything. Will he love it or will he list it? Jesus goes to Jerusalem. He goes to Jerusalem, he goes to the temple, and once again, God's word speaks out against the sins of his people. This time it's when he drives out the money changers, right? And once again, God's people don't like what they're hearing. They don't want to hear about their sin. Once again, they form an angry mob. Once again, they take Jesus outside of the city to the top of a hill. This time not to throw him off the edge of a cliff, but to do what? Nail him to a cross. And this time Jesus does not walk through the crowd. This time Jesus stays on top of the hill, nailed to the cross, where he sheds his blood, paying the price of your renovation. As Jesus chooses to love it. And he loves his people, he loves you, warts and all, and he lays down his life as the price of your renovation so that you might be forgiven and be his forever. And now here today, as we gather for worship, that gift of forgiveness, won for you on the cross, that gift of eternal life, won for you in Christ, becomes your own through a different gift, another gift, we call that the gift of faith, given to you through the hearing of God's word, God's voice. As we listen to these words, are there words we'll hear that we like, that make us feel good? Yeah. Are there also words that we'll hear that make us uncomfortable, that we don't want to hear? Yeah. And here's the thing with that, that we need to remember, is that all of these, right, are God's word. And we don't get to pick and choose which are God's words and which ones aren't. They're all God's voice speaking to you as he seeks to forgive your sins, as he seeks to turn you from your sins, as he seeks to make you his own and give you eternal life. So as you hear these words, how do you respond? Well, you respond through faith and receive these words with joy, even when they make you uncomfortable. Will you live your life according to them? Or will you reject them when they say what you don't want to hear? Will you love it? Or will you list it? Amen. We rise and confess.